few minutes is give you a quick overview of this report. By the way, you can download it for free. We're talking. Make sure you say two-sided printing because it's long. Or for $40, as of 2 days ago, you can now buy the hardbound copy, which is a lot easier. What I'm going to do is a quick overview of that. I'm going to use the official IOM slides, which I did modify without checking for permission, because they're fairly texty, and I wanted to pull out a couple key points. This, of course, as we talked about in the plenary, is this issue about getting the primary care and public health to link together is not a new idea. It's been going back and forth for years. The IOM report was actually put together at the request of HRSA and CDC leadership. Mary and Tom wanted to take another crack at it because of the Accountable Care Act. And the committee's charge was to look at best examples of bringing the two groups together. We realized this is not a new idea. People have been doing it for a while. What were the successful examples? And then what made them successful? What was going on here? And look at ways in which those two organizations, HRSA and CDC, could use the Accountable Care Act and their regulatory powers to further those sort of examples. I mean, what worked, and then how could they further more examples of that? And then look at how HRSA supported primary care systems and state and local public health departments can really integrate around a number of specific topics. And so not just integration in general and theoretically, but where are some specific focal points where we can start driving change? And they asked us to take a look at a couple examples. It was a nice group, 21 months of studies, 5 meetings of the full committee, 4 open sessions, and we can go down. Looked at 3 in detail, went all over the literature, including an external group that looked at it, 11 external reviewers back and forth. And we finally realized that in all that work, we needed to start with one word. And that was the word integrate. Because when we use the term integrate, it turns out it means different things to different people. And we particularly realized that I'm a physician, family doc, and we talked about integration with our public health colleagues, what they heard, and I'm paraphrasing a little bit, would be, we're going to integrate, we're going to take your money and use it on healthcare. And we had to clarify that actually that's not what we're trying to say. That actually there's a degree of different forms of integration that we needed to tease apart, and there's not one right model, and that merger, complete coming together, is not the goal. The goal is to actually look at how we can link programs and activities for overall efficiency and effective in achieving gains in population health. So it's really an answer to the question, what can we do together better than we can do separately? And that could be anything from hopefully beyond mutual awareness to cooperation, collaboration, partnerships, and merger. And we took no position or the right answer is because all local politics are local. We just wanted to note, and that's the key part of this whole report, is that there are things that you can do together now that you can't do separately. And if you're not embarked on that journey, it's time to start. And we have some thoughts on how to do that. And we've talked about this already in the plenary, so let me just briefly note that it's the right time. Well, we've done it before. Healthcare costs are way up. There's a whole bunch of new folks pushing on this. The Accountable Care Act, but even that, the CMS's movement towards medical homes and demonstration projects, there's more and more evidence that we can partner and that we can, and the data systems with electronic health records give us tools we just didn't have before. You don't have to go out and do detailed community surveys to quite the extent you had to do before in order to do things together. Now, I mentioned that we went and we looked at examples. We looked through the literature, we used the gray literature, we used social networking. We compiled lots of examples, and then we tried to figure out what was common about them. And interestingly, it came out to only a couple points, and this is a reality check. You can tell me if we missed any. One of them is that folks had a common goal, whether it was the public health department, of course, or the primary care groups, who often were networked. They had a shared goal of population health improvement. I mean, the medical group had moved beyond the idea that they only cared about the patients who came in the door, because they were starting to think about the people who didn't come in the door. And the public health department, of course, had that same interest, always has had. But we're looking at the role that the medical groups can do in prevention and the way in which those two could link together. So common goal is number one. The other was they always were involved with the community. And you might go, well, duh. That's essentially a part of community, of public health, and it is. But the primary care groups are starting to do that and often doing it independently. Of course, HRSA, the Federally Qualified Health Centers, have always had a, overarching advisory boards. But what we're seeing is more and more advisory boards and linkages, and folks realizing that actually they're serving the same community, and they need to actually coordinate those efforts. So shared goal, often increasingly common forms of community engagement, common aligned leadership. I mean, folks actually knew each other's names. They talked to each other. I know that sounds radical. And in my journeys around the U.S., I sit on a number of boards with a number of academic health centers. I've learned that one of the first things I need to ask is, do you know who your health department director is? And the answer is often no. By the way, when I work with health department directors, I ask, have you ever met with your primary care network or the dean or the practice plan or whatever? And the answer is usually, well, I've never been asked. Or if they did ask, they told me to come to their conference room in the middle of the day and I couldn't make it. So there's a partnership and alignment that begins by meeting. A fourth, which was crucial, and everybody in this room knows it, is sustainability. Folks figured out how to move money around legally. So they looked at how to link programs and partner around limited resources because nobody had enough money. And I'd add briefly that one of the things we realized is there was often a race to the bottom as to which group felt least loved. And we had to get over that and actually talk about this is not a race. This is not a time to recapture old history. This is a time to look at we're all short. We all have common goals. What can we do together and how do we sustain that? And last, and you've heard this, and I'll talk about it again in a minute, is data. That there's just so much data to look in, how you can analyze it and target your resources was a common element of every one of these proposed, every one of the successful examples. So why now? We touched on just costs, increasing attention. We're changing reimbursement systems in multiple states to encourage primary care groups to take population proposals. That's coming out of CMS. And we're really seeing that the agencies are interested in collaborating, especially around maternal and child health, cardiovascular disease, colorectal cancer. But those are not the only ones. Those are just three that came up as we're talking to HRSA and CDC. So let me touch on some examples of what this looks like. You've heard a couple of them on the plenaries. Durham, North Carolina, which I'll come back to, which I've been involved with, helped set up where it's a state Medicaid network. We started with that, but we really then grew out to six counties. All of which includes the public health department, all of which includes the schools, all of which includes every primary care group, and there's collaborative, and social services and housing. It's really a collaborative arrangement to figure out how we deliver care more effectively to Medicaid recipients. That's a state network, and I talked about Durham, but we're just a microcosm of that. San Francisco, we're Healthy San Francisco, and Mike talked about that, is really a lovely partnership between the various agencies within San Francisco to see what they can do together around partnerships. And New York, which you guys know, it's probably the best known example where Tom Frieden and Mayor Koch really worked together, a partnership around electronic health records in their primary care groups, linked to the public health department to really look at primary prevention. That's one of the better studied examples. When we looked at can't help people work together. We talked about how they worked, you know, what were those common themes. We also looked at what did they do together. And that was really interesting because one of the common themes was they used community health workers. Now, that's such a big term that we could spend all the rest of today talking about what it means and who qualifies in that. But what was interesting is they all did it. So they were using folks who weren't traditionally medical providers and weren't public health providers in the traditional sense to really serve as outreach arms for both, and they often were jointly funded. They shared data. I learned in this process, and I've been involved in informatics for a while, about HIPAA and its non-application to health departments, the way we can use that to share data more effectively. And the other one was that there often was three people. It wasn't pairs, it was triplets. It was usually a third party, sometimes a mayor, sometimes a county commissioner, but there's somebody who brought them together. And that threesome seemed to be more stable than the twosomes. And just interesting observations. I see some heads nodding. We've had some interesting discussions of the psychodynamics behind that, but whatever, it worked. And that's what mattered. So here are recommendations. They're in that manual. You can read them. This is really written for the agencies, so let me tease out a couple key points in this that may matter more to you. The one is we thought HRSA and CDC should be linking staff, funds, and data at the regional and the state and the local levels. Now, that's a little boundary spanning because, of course, those agencies tend to be more at the state and the regional level. We thought there's an opportunity to look at coordinating funding streams, and HRSA and CDC in particular at the regional and state level could be coordinating a lot better. Nobody has argued with that. In fact, that work, I'm happy to see, is already well underway, and we have some folks here in the audience who can speak to that. Recommendation two was to create common research and learning networks to really support this. This is not something where there's one right answer, and we know it, and we're going to tell you, and you're all going to do it. This is a case of actually we're learning how to do it together. Communities differ, health departments differ just a little bit, primary care networks differ a little bit. So we need to figure out how to partner together given that diversity. And that's actually an opportunity to learning together. We also thought the CMS could have a real role in this. We talked to them a good bit because as CMS, of course, pays for the healthcare side of this and their opportunities to do better with the same money or even save some money. And that CMS could serve perhaps as that third party. And we're seeing more and more of these CMS innovation proposals really helping to pull on health departments as part of that planning. We have a big one in multiple counties we just got at Duke. And that's really an opportunity for integration too. Third, and Denise Koo I saw in the back just come in, is to look at how we train workforce. That came up in today's plenary. That really we ought to be looking at ways to try and train doctors to work with health groups, public health groups to work with physicians. I know sometimes we're hard to work with, but it's possible. And really look at what you can do together. So it's not just the knowledge of, but the opportunities for working together. And one of my other hats is AAMC Board of Directors of the U.S. Medical Schools and Teaching Hospitals, and really looking at how to do that in collaboration with those agencies. Denise may want to comment on that. But we also really liked the EIS. And we thought that EIS is something that should really has an opportunity with chronic disease at the local level. And we talked about epidemiology. Actually, in Durham, we have a diabetes epidemiology officer, CMS funded. Now, there's an idea. So we also looked at training grants and the way they may be able to be linked together, including with public health and preventive medicine training programs. And that discussion is ongoing. We thought, again, the Secretary of HHS, and we've talked to a number of these undersecretaries and secretaries, really ought to focus on community health as their overarching goal and link these agencies together and really look at the social determinants of health, a discussion that's very actively ongoing, and really look at linking all the agencies, because this is not just CMS and HRSA. NIH has a major role here. They fund a very large consortium called the Clinical and Translation Science Awards, $500 million a year. I'm the community engagement coach here on that one. It really looks at how do we actually form these partnerships, do the research support for them, and understand outcomes at a community level. And of course, CMS is part of that too. So that was the IOM overview. Let me give you a quick example of what this can look like in one site. I mean, this is not the right, the best site, the only site, none of that's true, it's just one. So in Durham, North Carolina, 2 hours from here, Central Piedmont, North Carolina, we've had a partnership going back almost 20 years. It started with my department, Community and Family Medicine, and our health department, realizing that primary care groups were missing a lot of people. We didn't see them, and we could teach people in the office until the cows came home. It wasn't very effective, so we needed to form a better partnership. It's grown into a multi-stakeholder group, including mental health, social services, housing, police, and schools. It really looked at health of the county as a whole. It's led by our health department, of course, but we really staff and support it. What we've been able to do is actually get data out of our electronic health records, put into a very large database, add police reports, school reports, lead levels, all the housing and urban development data sets, even down to where the lights are broken and the sidewalks aren't there, and start looking at patterns. What you see up here is actually one of our early runs, looking at socioeconomic indicators by neighborhood. We actually, rather than use neighborhoods as we defined on the medical side, we asked Radical Idea, our county agency, how did they define the neighborhoods, and we actually mapped our data to their definitions. So this is just looking at percent of households with single parent, percent of households in poverty, and those red lines are the different neighborhoods of Durham that our county commissioners wanted to specifically look at because they're targeted for improvement. This is when we took one of those neighborhoods and we looked at, well, who are the people in it that we have health data on or health outcome data? These are diabetic patients over 3 years in two of those neighborhoods. And there are a couple interesting things about it. One is the numbers. There are about 300 in each neighborhood. And what's interesting is that's probably only half the people who have diabetes in those neighborhoods. Finding number one, we don't see all the people. You knew that. We learned that. The other was that about 60 plus percent of them are on Medicaid. Well, everybody knew that. But when we looked, our thinking was that we had an access problem with this group. Remember, we're only seeing half of them. But when we actually looked at how many visits each person that we saw averaged per year, it's 14. This is not an access problem, at least for those 14. Of those 14, three per year are emergency room visits. Now, to put this in more context, Durham, North Carolina, because we're a big teaching center, has three times the national average of primary care providers. We have school health clinics. We have community health clinics. We have a beautiful federally qualified health center we partner with, and that's our data. And the health system isn't working. But with all due respect, none of this is working. 14 visits. The amount of money on that is rather striking. So what we did was say, okay, we have a problem together. We're going to actually build capacity in these neighborhoods. So we actually went and did community focus groups within those neighborhoods. And what we have created is actually a common team of the neighborhood leadership, the schools that actually were focusing on healthy schools and neighborhoods, safe places to exercise, access to healthy foods, and access to health information that we're doing as a combined community-wide endeavor in which the health groups, my own groups, are partnering and helping. Our goal is really an integrated model in which we're integrating social and medical resources, neighborhood assets, and community activism. We have a great tradition of that in Durham. To really look at what it would take to be a healthy Durham. So we actually have churches, other meeting places, or health ambassador sites where you can get care safely, legally. We're actually funding neighborhood health navigators. Remember those community health workers? We're not doing them by practice or by disease. We're doing them by community, and they're linked in with us. We fund them. We're building out clinical hubs in the schools. We actually run school clinics that are open to the neighborhood. Now, there's an idea. Okay. But schools liked it, and actually we do prenatal care in those school clinics. Okay? It's interesting what you can do when you start. And we're also linking in the employers. They're looking at, because the benefit to the employers here is staggering. But they hadn't really thought about it. They saw it as, you know, we do on-site care and we do health care, and we pay for that through the nose, but we don't actually try to coordinate all our efforts. So we're linking the employers together to say, you know, these are your employees, these are our employees, these are our patients, we are in this together. So our goal is a healthy community. We're about 15 years into this. We can see a reduction in ER rates in many of our target conditions by 50%. And in some of our target groups, we've reduced hospitalization rates by 80%. That's 80, not 0.8. So the amount, by the way, we hadn't yet, we've saved a little bit of money. It's probably about 11% of total budget out of that. But what we've really learned is, in fact, we can partner.